once more into the void we go, and this void is Press X, and the void further inside that void is E3, the, I guess you'd call it the peak of the games calendar for any year, just on the basis of, here's a load of new stuff, get excited. I'm Rob, and I'm subbing in for Mark this week, along with the other two regulars, which are Andy and Rob, so say hello, others.
Hello, others.
Hello, others.
You asked for that, Rob.
Yeah. That's sarky. Just because there's an alleged hay fever bomb, a pollen bomb, doesn't mean you can take advantage of me.
It's not my fault you two are both Flemish today.
But we will add a mechanical vibe to your voice, Rob.
Yeah. All right, so lots to get through, I guess. We just get going into it, will we?
Yeah. So, shall we start off with the one that seems to have been overlooked by a lot of people for some reason?
Which is?
Resident Evil 2.
Yes. I thought this one, to me, I thought was one of, because I was looking forward to it for so long, I thought was one of the biggest announcements.
And yet it didn't even make it to the Wikipedia page, did it?
It was one of the biggest announcements. I guess I could go for that. What's really interesting about it, though, is, well, it's taking one of my top 10 favourite games of all time, so I'm immediately invested in it. But I've watched a lot of the gameplay talkthroughs with the staff on the game about it, and it's not just a matter of fact, black and white. We're just putting like the Resident Evil engine on top of the Resident Evil 2 game.
Yeah.
Redesigning it from the ground up. There's Chris Redfield. No, wrong. Not Chris Redfield. There's a Leon Kennedy campaign. There's a Claire Redfield campaign, and there's other campaigns that they've not announced yet, but I'm going to guess that Ada Wong will be in there because she's a big player in that game.
Yeah.
Adding new bits. There's a toilet in the police building now.
That was the main thing, actually, playing the old one, because you're like, the lack of the toilets in the police station?
Yeah.
Really? Yeah.
But it just looks wonderful, you know. I can't wait for it, really. And when games are announced to be... He is a remake of something that you used to love. Most of the time, he's like, I don't really care.
The thing that I found interesting was there were a couple of things that were patently kind of missing from E3, and one of them was kind of the horror titles themselves. There was Resident Evil 2.
But that's it, though, really.
But the thing is, it wasn't it, though. There were other games, because one of the things that I find that I've noticed is that a lot of people focus so much on the conferences, they ignore everything else around E3. Because Focus Home Interactive announced, they put out more trailers for Call of Cthulhu, and also an interesting game that's got my attention called Plague Tale: Innocence, which
I want to use this as a jumping off point, and we're talking about conferences, and conferences are like the main focus of E3, because, you know, that's where all the big announcements are put forward. The floor show is largely for people who are attending it to just try everything and discover everything. It's more of like an attendee thing, the floor show.
There's so much more to it.
No, but the thing is, Squaresoft shouldn't have had a conference.
No.
Square Enix shouldn't have had a conference, because it was 30 minutes of trailers, and the big trailer within that conference was Kingdom Hearts 3, and the running gag for all the sort of conferences was that no matter how many times they put that trailer on, the audio was knackered.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you get right down to it, one of the biggest things that that came out this year, especially during the conferences, there was very little on the tech side, right?
Good.
It was basically Spartan. And without the tech side of things, you know, all you had were basically a series of trailers. And that basically means that you don't need conferences for any of them.
Not really.
It's the event feel.
Yeah, it's the event feel. I can't remember which one it was. I think it was either Bethesda or Microsoft. But one of them had kind of old man Kevin Sorbo as one of the developers. I looked at him and was like, that's Kevin Sorbo. No,
that's
not.
Way too obscure a reference. I can't recall everybody who did it.
he was on stage, and he looked so much like Kevin Sorbo had grown older and got a beard. And it was really bizarre.
Okay, I'm just going to overlook that completely and move on.
But anyway, I was talking about Plague Tale, right? A Plague Tale, Innocence, from Focus Home Interactive, because Andy's seen the trailer for this as well.
This was one with the rats, wasn't it?
Yeah, the one with the rats.
Yeah.
Which looks really, really bloody interesting. Imagine it's basically set at the time of the Black Plague, I think it is, and there's rats, there's plague rats everywhere, and you're basically taking the role of the siblings, Amicia and Hugo, and they're struggling to survive through the heart of the brutal and ruthless world of 12th century France, and the rat swarms are everywhere, and that's what you've got to try and survive against. And it looks like your only weapons are, you know, your cunning and a torch.
Mm. These games, the type of games, though, that, I mean, we have to talk about in a sense because it looks brilliant.
Yeah.
But when you think about E3, it's always the big games or...
Well, again...
Things like that.
Again, with the conferences, there was a remarkable lack of indie titles and indie developers.
Well, the thing about the indie games is they've always had the prominence when there's not been a lot of mainstream titles to make up for it. So to fill that gap, indie is the way.
Yeah.
That's always been, like, for a long time, that's how indie has been perceived by a lot of people.
Yeah.
It's just a stopgap until the next big game. And admittedly, it'd be nice to see E3, like the biggest platform for new games to be announced to, it's a hypothetical situation here.
Yeah.
It probably won't happen, but I reckon the only conferences should be for Microsoft, Sony, and Nintendo.
Yeah.
And the fourth one for independents.
Well, yes. No, I'd say... Actually, yeah, because PC...
independence can mean all sorts. It can mean large-scale independence. It can mean indie games in the traditional sense.
Mm.
See, that's what confuses me because, you know, there was a PC conference, wasn't there? You know, the PC gaming show was going on, but I couldn't find anything about it.
Mm. Well, it's the problem, I think, with E3 now. You only have to look at, for example, the Microsoft conference.
Yeah.
And then look at the Square Enix conference. And you see the same titles. Yeah. Same with Sony and Square Enix.
Shouldn't double dip. It'd save a lot of effort if they didn't double dip or triple dip with these things.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have a much... you'd have more room to show other things. And, you know, the gaming world is not just these AAA titles. I mean, EA's conference was mainly... the sports games and the titles that we all expected from EA.
Anthem, which I'm very underwhelmed by. But when we're talking about EA, I think the one game from them which stood out above all others was Sea of Solitude.
Sea of Solitude, yes. Well, there's also...
Because that looks like the indie game of their selection. I mean, they reveal Unravel 2, which I didn't know anybody was really interested in, because the first one didn't do particularly well.
Yeah, but they're trying to push it because they need a platformer, and Battlefield 5 is definitely not a platform game.
Nah. Anthem kind of I just don't know. It just doesn't look interesting to me in any way, shape, or form. It's just EA's Destiny. That's all it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's basically something which they've committed to, and it seems like they're just continually trying to commit to.
Yeah.
The backlash from Command & Conquer's. Oh.
Oh, yes. That's
Because Command and Conquer rivals, if you're not aware of this, Command and Conquer's been dormant for a long time, and the way they decide to bring it back is with a mobile game, and Command and Conquer fans are like, oh no, you didn't.
Oh god, yeah. Let's put it this way. I'm a Command and Conquer fan, right? And as soon as I saw Command and Conquer Rivals, I thought, yay! As soon as I saw it was mobile, I went, no!
I mean, I wouldn't mind if they released the old Command and Conquer games on, for example, iOS and Android. Well, I would not mind that.
Yeah, the old ones, which we all, you know, if you're a Command & Conquer fan, you already on PC, that's fine. You know, release them on mobile. That's okay. Don't release them on like an iPhone or something like that. Make them tablet specific so people can play them properly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there wasn't much else to EA's presence there besides, you know, sports games being sports games. Sea of Solitude DLC.
Oh,
They announced the new Star Wars game from the people who did the massively underrated Titanfall 2, which I love Titanfall 2. That's an amazing game. More people need to play that.
Something that I noticed, there were a couple of trends that I noticed through the conferences. One of them was this whole pirates thing. A water theme, I should say, because you had Unravel and they had that thing where you had the thread in the water. And then you had Sea of Solitude. Then you had Kingdom Hearts 3, which I've never seen Phil Spencer so happy about Kingdom Hearts being on the Microsoft, being on the Xbox One. But we'll get to that in a bit. But you had Kingdom Hearts, and they were pushing the kind of Jack Sparrow Pirates of the Caribbean angle and the Frozen angle really heavily. And then you had...
Yeah, using that. I mean, the other theme was, like, The Witcher. Everybody saw The Witcher and thought, ooh, The Witcher's cool. Let's borrow everything from that.
Yeah. Yes. But, I mean, that's the thing. You had Sea of Thieves, and then you had the final game, the one that I was really looking forward to seeing more of, Skull and Bones.
Yeah, we'll use that to jump onto Microsoft and run through what they're revealed.
The ones that I've got a very short list from the Microsoft one. Sekiro, that was the other thing as well. The other trend that I noticed was also kind of the samurai type theme.
I'm okay with that theme though. I love samurais. Samurais are cool.
Well, you had Koei Tecmo announcing Nioh 2. You had Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which I think was at the Microsoft conference, and then. Was it the Sony conference or was it the...
Sorry. But anyway, we'll get to that when we come to Sony.
There was the Ghost of Tsushima at the Sony conference, I believe it was.
Yeah, but to Microsoft.
Yeah.
Their sort of centrepiece, I guess you'd call it, of the conference was Fallout 76.
Yes, and this is also one that was repeated on the Square Enix to get that rant over again.
Yeah.
Well, not Square Enix.
No, it was Bethesda.
Yeah.
Fallout 76, I mean, it was announced before E3, and so everyone went into E3. And I think the thing is, Bethesda were kind of the belle of the ball when it came to E3, because they announced Fallout 76, and so everybody wanted to know more about Fallout 76. The thing that annoyed me a little bit about that is, you have another fantastic post-apocalyptic game, also we get more information about Metro Exodus, right?
But on Fallout 76, what it is, it's largely the same thing, but it's before any Fallout game, you are the first survivors out of the vaults.
Yeah.
And you've got to rebuild the world, and the world is made up of a lot of online players, and that's caused a lot of annoyance because, you know, Fallout is a fundamentally single solo experience.
Well, you know, the Bethesda conference went into more detail about it. And they have said that there is going to be a strong single player campaign in there. It's just a lot of the other players, a lot of the other people in the world, because Fallout 76 is basically an MMO. Mm. That works in kind of a similar way to, say, Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, but think though, Rob, I think they did mention as well, Fallout 76, you're not going to be in there with millions of players.
No, you're not.
You're going to be in this with about 12.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. You are going to be in there with about 12 players. It is still an MMO, though.
It's four times the size of Fallout 4, which, again, it's not the size of the world. It's what you put in it. Yakuza showed that beautifully, as did The Witcher.
Yeah, and it's set in West Virginia.
Which is nice, you know, green. Green's a colour, not all brown and
exactly
dead colours like Four was.
The thing that I like about the idea of Fallout 76 is the multiplayer aspect, because that was one of the things that I think has been missing from Fallout. And I know that people have been wanting some kind of Fallout based MMO for a while. You know, this is kind of halfway house between a single player thing and a multiplayer thing. The other thing that I found interesting about it, though, was it wasn't the only game of its type that, you know, Microsoft kind of showcased, because they had exactly the same thing for Forza Horizon 4. It's basically, it's not post-apocalyptic, but the whole MMO setup, where you had a limited number of players in basically this MMO where every other character was a player. In Forza Horizon 4, every other car is basically another player.
Yeah. Mm. And back to Fallout, though, because it links in perfectly with Metro Exodus, which was just sort of hinted at in the Microsoft conference, but on Metro's YouTube channel revealed like a 10-15 minute playthrough of what that game is and what it entails.
Yep.
And it looks outstanding.
Yeah.
Fallout 76 is broad, it's silly, it's over the top. You've got a nuke and you can drop it on other people, which is just over the top and unnecessary. But, you know, people like that, that's fine. Metro Exodus is much more tactile. It's much more, this is what it'd be like after a bomb would be dropped. And this is how we pulled it all together again. Yeah. It's more realist, but it's that minute details. And in the previous Metro's, you underground, as the title implies. This one, it's out in the world, and it just looks like the developers are making the game they've always wanted to make. And when you see that, it's like, oh, wow, that looks cool. That just
In the second Metro game, you did have bits where you were overground. It's just in Exodus, there's much more overground stuff than underground stuff. What I like about the Metro games is the fact that they are a lot darker than the Fallout game. Well, I suppose the atmosphere is darker than the Fallout games. The Fallout games tend to have a slightly camp 1950s atmosphere.
That's actually a great
description for them, actually.
And this is the thing, I don't mind the Fallout games for having that atmosphere. I think it works, especially with some of the darker things that happen in the Fallout games. But Metro is just kind of, I don't know, it's weird because it kind of reflects the tonal shift between America and Russia. And Eastern Europe, I should say, where Eastern Europe and Russia are all seen as kind of this grey, monolithic, kind of stern societies, and America is kind of, is, you know,
you say that wrong, fun-loving capitalist. In the gameplay, they had a cult that worships the fish god.
Yeah.
So it's not all serious.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's what people would perceive.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that that's actually the case, because, hey, you know, they worship a fish god.
Yeah, well, a certain cult does that. Yeah, it's not open world either. It's just a series of large open levels, which give you a degree of freedom as to how you approach it as well, which is so nice.
Yeah,
open world's a dirty word.
That's exactly the same as, say, Dragon Age Inquisition, isn't it?
Don't know, never played it.
Yeah, Dragon Age Inquisition wasn't open world. It was just a series of really large areas.
Mm.
Any other things from Microsoft?
Well, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which was also at the Square conference, but I mean, that was one of the ones that caught my attention. And I noticed that they also, at the Microsoft conference, they announced the return of Battletoads. Yay! Oh, hooray! I have been waiting all my life for them to re-release Battletoads because it was such a fun game the first time I played it. I have real fond memories of playing Battletoads. I legitimately
thought you were really happy there, Rob.
Battletoads is my favourite game in the world.
On the theme of MMO lore, I am looking forward to The Division 2 because the fundamental issue with the first one was there was no life. It was just all grey. It was all winter. It was all miserable.
Yeah.
And they're setting this one in Washington, D.C. in the summer, and it just looks like a much more vibrant and lively game. And I think fundamentally, when you're playing a game for as much time as that sort of MMO shooter demands, having a little bit of life in the world helps a great deal.
I mean, it does. Two of the games that got me excited from the Microsoft conference, though, and more excited than things like Gears Pop and Gears Tactics, and please, whoever...
Gears Pop did not get a good reaction. It did not get
whoever decided to make Gears Pop should lose their job, right? Because that is a stupid idea. But yeah, first one is Just Cause 4, because...
Do people still care about that, really?
The thing is, it's not that people care about it. It's just such a fun game to play.
Yes.
And that's the point of Just Cause these days. And I reckon Just Cause is going to go down the real camp route in the future. And I hope it does because it... You know how Saints Row went down this really bizarre route?
I was thinking Saints Row as soon as you mentioned that.
Exactly. I think Just Cause is the perfect game. You know, think like, you know... Early James Bond, where it was really camp and stupid, right? That sort of thing. I think Just Cause would be perfect for that.
Mm. It is that game where it's basically everything that you could want in that open world type of game.
I mean, imagine it. My name is Rodriguez. Rico Rodriguez.
Well, yeah. And Session, that happened.
Yeah, Session happened. And didn't really get the reaction.
I adore Skate. So this is seeing that world come back again, a very real Skip-On game back in the world again, is just wonderful.
Yeah, the thing is, it didn't really get the reaction I expected. I thought it was going to get more of a reaction from people, but it's been quite mellow.
It's just lost in the magnitude of all the other things that are happening, like the announcement of Devil May Cry 5, which I did not see coming and was very excited about.
Yeah.
Because the trailer, it's continuing the story from number four, so it's Nero who is there.
Yeah.
We see a shot at the end of the trailer, which is old, grizzled Dante on a bike. You know, we know he's old and grizzled because he's got stubble.
Yeah.
And that's obviously
that's the only way you can tell. Yeah, it's the only way you can tell that Dante is old and grizzled is that he has stubble. But yeah, I like the trailer for Devil May Cry 5. I found it interesting that there was a weird parallel between Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and Devil May Cry 5 in terms of the fact that they both have like swordsman type characters who are going around killing demons, and they both have like an artificial arm.
Very different ways of doing it, though.
It's pretty
who
different ways.
Like artificial arms.
Yeah, but the one that I am hoping, and you mentioned the Witcher theme, Rob, right? I am hoping that CD Projekt Red basically do Cyberpunk Witcher when they do Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, they've had like a demo behind closed doors, and it's first person, and a lot of people have reacted badly to that. And frankly, who cares?
Yeah,
the game is what they want it to be, not what the audience wants it to be.
The thing is, they've done it as first person. But, I mean, CD Projekt Red are very open to audience reactions. They're very accepting of fan reactions, you know, and they have a tendency to listen to them as well in a way that a lot of other developers, you know, they do well to actually follow their example and actually listen to what the fans want, the audience actually wants, and try and fit it within the framework of their game. You know, it might be that it stays as a first person, but that might not be a bad thing. When I say,
but from the accounts of it, it's because it immerses you in the world, and there's a lot that's going on in that world.
Yeah. And it gives them a great opportunity for VR later as well.
Yeah, it does.
Which does sound a possibility.
But the thing is, with Cyberpunk 2077, when I say, I want it to be like Cyberpunk Witcher, I'm not talking about from the perspective, I'm talking about from the game itself. You know,
it's the density of the world and the things that are going on in the world and the interactivity and the stories told and the open-endedness of it. And they've said, like Witcher wasn't about saving the world. It was a very personal tale. This one too. You're allowed to make your own character. You can choose male or female. You can do like backstory, favorite hero growing up, and like tailor it like that. So it does have some sort of customizable aspect to it.
Well, think about it like this. Do you remember the first Deus Ex game?
Yes.
Right. And it's still classed as one of the greatest sci-fi cyberpunk video games of all time, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, perpetual night, though.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Cyberpunk might not be in perpetual night, but what I'm hoping is basically Cyberpunk 2077. Because CD Projekt Red and I have a lot of faith in them. And I'm hoping that they basically create something that can take Deus Ex off that pedestal.
I think they could do it in their sleep, really.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they did it with The Witcher 3. It is one of the best games on console ever, in my opinion.
It's one of the best games of all time. It's in my top three of all time.
Yeah.
Probably one, to be honest, because how much I was sucked into that world.
Exactly. The world building in The Witcher 3 is just phenomenal. And if they manage to do that with Cyberpunk 2077, that's done, you know.
Oh, definitely.
So, yeah, anyway, we've waxed lyrical about that.
Bethesda.
Yes. Bethesda, who... it was interesting with Bethesda. Were they the ones who had Andrew WK?
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching the audience reaction to Andrew WK, and it seemed like a lot of the audience were just kind of, it's Andrew WK, he might have been big during the early noughties, but who cares about him now? And doing his latest song, which sounds exactly like his previous songs, Party Hard and She's So Beautiful.
Yeah. But the big announcement here is a new Wolfenstein game. I love Wolfenstein. It's amazing.
Yeah. Featuring B.J. Blazkowicz's twin daughters.
They announced that they're working on a new Elder Scrolls. It's very early on. Yes. It's like post-production.
Yeah, I think we're going to see it in literally about 2021, 22.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Well, they don't even have a...
keep on talking about next generation, so it's probably the next iteration of consoles.
They don't even have a name for it except The Elder Scrolls 6. That's it.
And they've got a new franchise, which they're calling Sci-Fi, which I'm guessing is more traditional sort of space sci-fi.
Oh, was this that Starfield? Yeah, where all the short of it literally was just a planet in darkness, sun rises from behind the planet, shifts to this spiky star-shaped space station type thing, and then warp, and that's it.
But I really like the sound of this, because this is, from looking online and things, this is billed as the next big Bethesda IP. So if it's on the scale of something like The Elder Scrolls and Fallout, this could be really good.
It could be, but is it like, Freelancer in those games, where it's a space sci-fi where you pilot ships? Is it an RTS in space?
It's too early to say.
It's an RPG.
Is it an RPG?
That's the only thing that's been basically announced. It's an RPG.
So it's going to be like Star Ocean and stuff like that then?
No, it's going to be like their RPGs, but in space.
Too early, but...
Okay.
Be good.
Yeah, Doom Eternal, which I love the new Doom. It's wonderful, horrible fun. So I'd see that, and they're calling it Hell on Earth, which is just that engine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you noticed, though, how none of us have mentioned the opening game for Bethesda, where they had a little dig at Walmart Canada? Rage 2. Is anyone actually excited about that?
Because nobody really cared about the first one. It just kind of disappeared. So they're like, it's getting a sequel. All right.
Yeah. That's my point. It's like, I didn't like the first game. Why am I going to play the second?
But I think Bethesda was one of the most entertaining conferences of E3. But I did leave a bit disappointed.
Yeah.
And I'm disappointed because I really want Skyrim on my Alexa.
Oh, yes. Because they had Key from Key and Peele, didn't they?
Yeah, apparently they tried to do that, but it was just too technically impossible. So they just dropped it.
I love that bit, though. I ate all the cheese. Honey, you know you're lactose intolerant. I ate all the cheese.
Devolver Digital did a conference, but it was just a gag reel, really.
It was. I mean, they resurrected their character from last year, Nina Struthers, who...
Chief Synergy Officer.
Yeah, Chief Synergy Officer. The actress who plays it is called Maria Zook. And the thing is, I liked the fact that they were kind of giving a middle finger to the gaming community at the same time in certain ways. You know, the loot box coin, for example. I mean, that's a thing that's been going on for a while. And the loot boxes have kind of died to death, but the Bitcoin thing is on the rise at the moment.
Yeah, it's a gag, and it had about 400 crowd reaction shots too many.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, that's fine. Square Enix shouldn't really have bothered with a conference, like I mentioned earlier.
Although they did have a game that was mentioned in the Microsoft conference, which I am really looking forward to, and we haven't talked about.
What's that?
The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit.
Oh, is that the one that's set in that, was it Stranger
Life
Things?
Life is Strange Unit.
That's it. Life is Strange, not Stranger Things. I knew there was a Strange in there.
But yeah, this is the free game that comes out later in June. So later this month. And it's serving as basically a teaser for Life is Strange 2. They've hinted at that.
Yeah, but I watched the trailer for The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, and you know what? My first thought was, somebody's been reading Calvin and Hobbes.
A lot of people have made that comment. But of all the superhero names, Captain Spirit, that's a terrible name.
Yeah. I mean, at least Calvin called his, superhero Spaceman Spiff.
Yeah, that's much better. Beyond that, the only real announcements for Square were a thing which doesn't really mean anything of anything, called The Quiet Man, which a deaf guy beats people up.
Yeah. Babylon's Fall. Which, to me, I misread it and thought it said Babylon's Fail.
It's a platinum game, so that makes it interesting, but that's literally all, you know, it's platinum and it's called Babylon's Fall.
And the last one was Dragon Quest XI, Echoes of an Elusive Age.
Didn't really tell you much about it, though, did it?
Nah, didn't say hardly anything. I mean, for some reason, I don't know why they were pushing their Final Fantasy XIV Monster Hunter World crossover event, which You know, playing Final Fantasy XIV, I don't see it as much of a big thing.
It was 25 minutes long, the event. It was absolute waste of time. It shouldn't have a conference.
Oh, Octopath Traveler was the other one that they announced, but we've seen loads about that, and it's only available on the Switch, and I don't have a Switch, so I don't care.
On to Ubisoft.
Yes. Who are they?
Ubisoft.
they came on with the sassiest panda ever.
Yeah.
Because they had it came on with a Just Dance presentation, so it had music and dancing and the sassiest panda.
Yeah. I'll tell you what I did like from the Ubisoft presentation was new cinematic for Beyond Good and Evil 2.
It's pandering. I didn't mean that. Because the whole thing is, Beyond Good and Evil, we saw that trailer in 2000 and whatever it was.
Yeah.
With Paige and Jade. And it was oh my God, yes, bring that. And every E3 after it, this is the one. This is the one they're going to bring Beyond Good and Evil back. I'm a big fan of the game. Love it. The original. Absolutely adore it. You play a journalist and it's so grounded. And every new one. And whenever it was announced, it was why are they calling that Beyond Good and Evil? It's nothing.
Yeah, it's a lot different, isn't it? From what I
can... Yeah. And in this trailer, they just drop Paige, Jade at the end of it and they think, okay, that's enough. That's kind of cheap. Pandering.
Well, the whole
idea of getting people to fill in the world through design and music just feels you're saying, wait all this time for this game that you've been waiting for, but we can't be bothered doing it, so you fill it in for us, right? Yeah.
See, this is the thing. From my perspective, I think maybe you're overthinking it a little bit. I liked the trailer. I'll be honest. I liked the trailer. I think possibly I'm more patient than most gamers, though. So I'm happy just to wait until it appears and just, keep telling me that it's coming and I'll be fine. Just tell me everything's okay and let me sit in my rocking chair on my Porsche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Trials guy, though, is amazing. I want him to be my dad.
Yes. The Trials guy is just superb. He's brilliant.
If you never watched it, he came on in a motorbike, very cool, walked onto the stage, fell through a stand with a monitor on, got up, announced himself as the King of Finland.
But that's how you announce a game.
Yes.
And then went on about Trials Rising,
And Trials is such a fun game. I mean, I mentioned Skull and Bones before. I do think it looks really good, and it's Ubisoft, and after Assassin's Creed Black Flag, they seem to have that kind of whole pirate ship sailing on the sea mechanic. They seem to have a good handle on that since then.
It's just blew up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I don't mean the ship. I mean the style of the game.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a pirate.
Yeah, this is true. The big one, though, the surprising big one, I should say, was that Starlink Battle for Atlas game, which is kind of like Skylanders, Lego Dimensions type thing, but with Starship.
Yeah, I was really interested in that, but they kept on cutting away and showing this model that you have outside of the game on a pad, and you add weapons to it.
Yeah.
It was it's one of those games, is it? Okay, I don't care.
Yeah.
But then they went and threw that curveball at the end by introducing Star Fox. And that immediately got my attention again, because after playing, I tried the last game that had Star Fox in, and it was utter twaddle.
But remember, though, Rob, it's only on the Switch version.
Yeah, but I've seen this, what somebody else has been saying, how Nintendo is shipping out their titles to third parties to do it better than they can.
Yeah.
The theory that this is them fishing out Star Fox so another company can do it better, and the fact that they've got Star Fox in the Switch version does allude to that quite a lot.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, speaking of Nintendo, I just want to throw this out there, but I kind of half called it last week, right? I said last week that I wouldn't be surprised if at E3 Nintendo announced that they were working with Koei Tecmo to do a Super Smash Brothers game that was in the style of the Musou games. So it would be something like Super Smash Warriors or something like that. And you'd have the entire roster the entire roster of Super Smash Brothers characters all in this one game, right? And what happened at Nintendo's conference? They announced Super Smash Brothers, whatever it was, Unlimited, was it?
Ultimate.
Super Smash Brothers Ultimate. Which has the entire roster of Super Smash Brothers characters. So I kind of half called it already.
Including Solid Snake.
Yeah.
Which I can't wait for that Kodak conversation to describe a Yoshi to him again.
Just finishing off Ubisoft, the last ones were Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which is
it's Greek
in ancient Greece.
It's basically Assassin's Creed meets The Witcher and set in ancient Greece.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, the characters, I mean, pretty sure Cassandra is in reference to an icon of Greek mythology. I don't know the background.
Cassandra is an icon of Greek mythology.
I don't know whether that's who they're referencing. That's all I'm saying.
No, they will be. They'll have chosen the name Cassandra because Cassandra is the woman who foretold the fall of Troy, but was already cursed by the gods to always tell the truth and had the gift of prophecy, but no one would ever believe what she said.
Hmm. Yeah. And then this one, it looks like they're being more of an RPG, but I'm checked out with the Assassin's Creed franchise, but I am checked in with Greek.
But, I mean, I'll tell you as well, you know, you probably know I'm a big fan of Assassin's Creed. Yes. Always have been. But they've really picked themselves up in the last two, being that you don't have to play all the games, you just have to be interested in that specific area focusing on.
Yeah, that works for me.
And they've revamped everything. Especially in Origins, it's an app that's more RPG like. So this is going to build on that, and it looks brilliant.
Yeah,
they've got me with the Greek myth and mythology and legend and history. They have me with that in the palm of their hand.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, we mentioned the Nintendo conference, and the only real ones that were worth even paying attention to for me were things like Fire Emblem Three Houses and Xenoblade Chronicles 2. I mean, I'm not a big fan of Pokemon. In the first place, and so
I love that announcement.
Yeah, so when they're talking about Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, and they're saying, "Oh, you can cross play with Pokemon Go," I'm going, "I don't play Pokemon Go. I don't play Pokemon. Don't play anything."
A lot with
Pokemon.
Of Nintendo's stuff is we have this thing too.
Yeah,
But the Pokemon game itself, I mean, it's the first Pokemon game which, since I stopped playing them in about 2002, which I fully understand, because I got Sun last, and I'm playing it, and I'm basically going, who's that? What's that? And this is basically childhood on the Switch.
I played Pokemon Blue. That's it.
Mm. I played the first couple of Pokemon games, and then lost interest, because, my God, how many times do I have to play the same game over and over and over and over and over and over and over again?
The last conference of Sony, they didn't do a lot. They focused on a few games.
Well, I mean, Sony's conference was interesting because the first bit of it was their big push for The Last of Us 2, and they had, like, an entire marquee decked out in the style of a church hall setting, which is one of the settings in the game from the trailer they were showing. And then they showed the actual trailer, which then switched into gameplay mode.
I love the first one, but I just don't care about this.
The game itself, I really like it. I think it looks brilliant, but I don't think there should have been a second one, because the ending made sense. It, you know, for example, leaving it there for you to figure out what had happened.
The ending to the first one was perfect.
But in this, all the same, I mean, it looks so slick. Yeah. And it gives you loads of questions but no answers.
Yeah.
And all it basically looks is the same but slick and with gore, which is a little bit too much. I don't like what they're doing with gore. I think gore is it's not integral to what that story is telling.
Yeah.
That story is a much more thoughtful and contemplative thing, and to see guts all over the place. I expect guts all over the place from God of War, from Resident Evil, but not something which is about talking about this last sort of vestiges of somebody's humanity at the end of the world. Yeah. I don't think it works in that context.
Interesting you mention it like that, because that leads us nicely on to Kojima's drunken night out idea, as I call it. Death Stranding.
Death Stranding, right. I think they're putting too much money into this, because people didn't buy Metal Gear games because Hideo Kojima, they bought Metal Gear games because they were Metal Gear games.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this,
and to give this guy this much money to basically do something which is like a student short film, writ large, as a video game.
I think
it's setting itself up for a massive failure.
I mean, I said last week that for me, the whole idea of Death Stranding was like Kojima and Guillermo del Toro went on a night out and had a bit too much to drink, ran into Norman Reedus and Mads Mikkelsen, And they just kept drinking. And then about 3 o'clock in the morning, Kojima goes to everyone, I've got a brilliant idea for a game, right? Mm. And then just goes on, says to Norman, Norman, you're naked on the beach and there's fish everywhere and there's a baby Norman. And then you don't see it.
On the contrary, I know Andy is looking forward to this. So
I'd probably change the definition of looking forward. But I'm intrigued because this is the game. The more the release of it, I get more confused as to what I'm watching.
Yeah, it's so, just that lack of exposition. It's just people like to know what they're doing rather than, oh, look, there's a baby and I'm carrying things up a mountain. And, oh, look, there's Leah Seydoux who's eating a bug. And what does any of this mean? And,
I'm looking forward to it, but it's going to be one of those games where I probably end up starting it, finishing it, and then going, what have I just played?
Do you know the strange thing, though? Death Stranding, from what we saw from the gameplay that they showed, basically they've got this flashing light and he's trying to sneak past all these spirits and everything like that. And do you know what? That just reminded me again of A Plague Tale Innocence when you're trying to sneak past all the rats. So, yeah, I'm just saying, you know, Focus Home Interactive might have done a game that matches Death Stranding but is set in 12th century and probably done it for cheaper as well.
And makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's not like the work of like a hideously pretentious idiot.
Yeah.
Who can't write dialogue or characters. You just do set pieces.
I've got to say, I'm impressed with the new Spider-Man game, although we have seen a lot about it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care.
It looks awesome. I'm getting that.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that so much.
I'm really looking forward to it, but part of me is going, how long can I play this without it feeling just like Spider-Man game?
Well, that makes no sense.
But not, for example, the older Spider-Man games.
Oh, you mean the ones on the PlayStation?
But yeah, you can. Do you know, there's only so long you can spend swinging from buildings and fighting.
That's the thing, though. That's not what it is.
Yeah.
There's so much that you can evolve on that. So it'll be interesting. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
They have said. They're just showing that because that's the flashy stuff. That's the cool stuff.
Yeah.
But they said it's just as much about Peter Parker as it is about Spider-Man.
Yeah, so there will be... I reckon that there will be a lot more depth to the game than what we've seen. But, I mean, the only other big game that they had at the Sony conference was Ghost of Tsushima, which I take my hat off to the developers because this game looks amazing.
I've dropped my pants for this one.
Yeah, and it's Sucker Punch who are the developers. And as much as I don't like the movie Sucker Punch, the developers, Sucker Punch Productions, I'm fine with them, right?
And it has like Japanese dialogue with subs, yeah. Japanese dialogue without subs, so it has that immersion of being a samurai in the age when the Mongols attacked and in the Warring States era. It's really interesting to see like the YouTubers say, it's like samurai movies. It's like Kurosawa. Yeah, he didn't really do that many samurai movies.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's nice that you're trying to pretend you know what you're talking about, but you don't.
Yeah. This is the thing. I love the fact that it's set definitively in Japan. And so when you see the close-ups of the characters, everybody really looks the part. Everybody looks Japanese. You're not kind of westernized or anything like that.
Yeah, and it's not like an action game. They said it's also about the silence and stillness.
Yeah.
Because you have to wait for an opening in your enemy. You don't just, hasha, smack, 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 smack. Oh, you're dead, right, next guy. Well, smack, I mean, smack, 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 smack.
You got that, you know that sword fight at the end of the trailer where he's having to fight his friend?
Yeah.
You know, that woman, that female archer. That fight there was kind of a prime example of what you're talking about. Because
waiting for
an opening, but also how they were changing stances as well. You know, that has just impressed me. You know, that's impressed the pants off me.
Yeah, it's using that Witcher style.
Yeah.
But as far as games that adopt the style of something which is very popular, putting it in the world of samurai is an easy way to get my pants around my ankles.
We're on this pantsless thing quite a lot right now, aren't we?
Yeah. Well, I'm easy, Rob. Just give me a samurai game. I even like those old rubbish ones in the PlayStation 2, Way of the Samurai. So something on such a big scale with such a big budget and such polish. One like of the, I say, my pants around my ankles.
Yeah, but one of the bits that really impressed me was Do you guys remember the bit with the grappling hook?
Yeah.
Where he climbs onto the roof and he's about to jump across, and as he's jumping, he's got the grappling hook and he's swinging it in his hand to throw it so he can catch as he's jumping. And it was such a fluid bit of animation. I was just, my jaw was literally on the ground. My pants right. were literally on the ground at that bit because it was so well done.
So let's say three titles each. What are the three titles that we saw that were like, yes, bring it on. I can't wait to play them.
Ghost of Tsushima, obviously.
So you got to do the other two now then. Well, me and Andy have a think.
Okay. Ghost of Tsushima, I've got to say Cyberpunk 2077, because that is just, that's my bag. I think I've got to go with Skull and Bones.
That's unexpected.
Because, well, the thing is, Skull and Bones, for me, looks... I played Assassin's Creed Black Flag and I liked it. But you know yourself, Rob, one of my favourite games of all time is Skies of Arcadia, right? Where you get to play the role of Sky Pirates. I mean, you can be pirates or you can be Sky Pirates. Which one do you want to be, kid? You know?
Neither. I just want to be sort of a trader making me a nice, tidy income in a normal part of the world.
All I'm saying is, the only reason Final Fantasy 12 was it? With Vaan? The only reason that basically did any good is because it had Sky Pirates in there.
If you say so. What about you, Andy? What about you, Andy?
Well, there's a lot to choose from. And yes, a lot of it stood out. And I'm not going to talk about Fallout and things, but the three that I'm really looking forward to, I think it's Resident Evil 2, yes. Definitely. The new Assassin's Creed, because I'm always intrigued what they're going to do. And the setting just... I'm still looking forward to the setting.
Question, though.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of Assassin's Creed, you think of that costume, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this doesn't have that. It has, like, Centurion outfit.
Well, it will do eventually, I'm guessing, because in Origins, my character walks around in Altair's costume, because you're unlocking if you've had any of the other Ubisoft games.
Well, that's just sort of an extra, isn't it?
But might have a hood. Might have a hood.
So Resident Evil 2, which looks phenomenal. Yes. Assassin's Creed, Centurion, I can't remember its name, it's gone now.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
And the third.
Yeah. And I have to go with Smash Brothers.
I'm surprised.
But it just really looks really fun.
Okay, that's unexpected.
Because I'm not going to say Pokemon, because I am looking forward to it, but I know what it's going to be like.
The same as every other Pokemon game, you mean?
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to, for once again, choosing Solid Snake and battering a Pikachu.
That just sounds wrong, Andy. That just sounds so wrong.
Just Solid Snake holding onto a Pikachu and punch him in the face like Iron Man does to Hulk in the second Avengers movie.
Yeah, Andy wants to use his Solid Snake to batter a Pikachu.
Yeah. So for me, I don't want to repeat any, although there is plenty at a second there, like Cyberpunk.
You're going with Just Dance, aren't you? I know you will. No, you're going with Just
Cyberpunk
Dance.
Cyberpunk looks phenomenal. Ghost of Tsushima, Lair, you know, all sorts. Resident Evil, yeah. But I don't want to double dip on anything.
Yeah.
Because there's too much to do to double dip. Metro Exodus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game engine just looks like the most beautiful, dirty, filthy thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And that ability to sort of create weapons, completely modular weapon design, and you've got there's a sleep cycle, you've got to upgrade things and repair damage. It's a game which commands your attention, and there's not enough around like that. You know, it's all about longevity rather than depth, and that's an overlooked quality in modern gaming, I feel.
Yeah.
Devil May Cry 5, because you're just like punching demons in the face.
Who doesn't?
Yep.
Well, the demons, I assume.
With a metal hand, remember? This time?
Yeah. A metal electronic hand.
Ah.
And the third. Huh. I have to go for Spider-Man because that just looks like so much fun to me.
Yeah, definitely. Spider-Man is up there. You can't just killing bad guys, can you?
Yeah. And there's like one release day coming next year. I think it's like the February the 22nd, which is going to be a horrible day for people's wallets because there's about four games coming out then, all big profile.
Yep.
So I worry for Metro Exodus there. I think they might have to move that release date to stand a chance. But yeah,
just think as well, though, I think Resident Evil 2 comes out around about the same time as Kingdom Hearts 3.
Resident Evil 2 comes out early January next year. Yeah. But, yeah. Anything that we've left out there? Or...
No, I mean, we've pretty much covered everything.
There's a new Mario Party game, but that just says that.
Yeah, we don't care. And it is exactly what we said, though. It's mainly focused on the games, but a lot of the conferences didn't actually need to be there. They could have just done a booth announcement for them instead.
Mm. It's that sort of thing. The conference is just a way to sort of centralize it all and make it accessible rather than going through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos.
Yeah. I mean, like some of the other people in on YouTube, I am starting to get more invested in the Devolver Digital cinematic universe, especially with that RoboCop-style ending.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the constant crowd reaction shots are like, oh, all right, I get the gag. Stop doing that. It's annoying me now.
Yeah, but aside from that, it was all right, wasn't it? They did announce Metal Wolf Chaos XD, which... You know, I'm happy about because I didn't mind the first game. I thought it was quite enjoyable.
Yeah, my friend Pedro just looked fun.
Yeah. So, you know, they've still got some stuff in the, you know, in the bag, but really light on indie titles. Very, very light.
Yeah, and also, we will absolutely refuse to announce who we believe won E3 because there is no such thing. The only people who win E3 are the gamers because we're presented with all this new stuff.
I was literally about to say, I know who won E3. I did. I won E3.
You know who won E3?
Who?
Consumerists. The economy. Because they'll take a lot of money for us, consequently, of us saying, oh, well, that looks good, I'll buy that. Oh, that looks good, I'll buy that. The only thing that wins is the shops that get our money.
Yeah. And the gamers. You have to say the gamers won.
And the gamers, yes. Gamers.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, E3 this year, it just, a lot of it was unnecessary. You know, a lot of the conferences didn't need to be there. I would have really liked it if Electronic Arts Conference wasn't there, because that annoyed the crap out of me. Mm.
Squaresoft didn't need it. There was a lot of double dipping.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the thing
big,
is, it makes...
Big showcases, like 15 minutes on Assassin's Creed Odyssey, as good as it looks, was too long.
But the thing is, that with all the double dipping, it made it look as though there were a lot more games there than there actually were. And one of the interesting things that I noticed was, if you look at the Wikipedia page for E3, right, you'll find that there were a lot of games that maybe you wanted to pay more attention to that didn't actually make it anywhere. They didn't get any kind of attention because it was overshadowed by a lot of the conferences.
Like Dreams. Dreams was there, but you wouldn't know. And
well, Dreams was just getting...
They've revealed a lot about that, and it looks like a hell of a game.
Dreams is basically... I said this again last week. I said this. Dreams is... I reckon it's going to be a massive runaway success, just like Little Big Planet was. Mm. It's basically like Little Big Planet's grown up and matured. And I think that... I mean, it was teased a bit during the Sony conference, but that was it.
And like there was the Bandai Namco for all the weebs out there. They saw Jump Force, which cut a great trailer, but when you see the gameplay, it just looks like the same old rubbish in any of these games.
Yeah.
I think Soul Calibur as well, wasn't there?
Soul Calibur 6,
Soul Calibur
They announced Soul Calibur 6 ages ago, but you know, when you look at the Wikipedia page and you see just how many games were actually at E3, but you didn't hear anything about them. Mm. And Nintendo announced that Demon X Machina game, which is kind of like Gundam. You know, it's kind of like every Gundam game that I've seen for the past few years, but with a bit more of a stylistic approach to it in terms of the art design.
Yeah.
But aside from that, you know, there's not much. I mean, a lot of these games are PC-based. But
the second Hitman season?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the thing is, a lot of these games being PC-based, the PC conference, did anyone actually watch it?
No, because it wasn't presented in the same way the other ones were. You had to hunt it out.
Exactly. And that's my point. A lot of these games being PC-based, it just seems like E3 should change its name to, we've got consoles. You know, screw everyone else. We've got consoles.
That's what I was talking about with the three main companies and then independent, because that independent can just sort of cover everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because apparently PCs are independent.
Mm. Although all Microsoft games, exclusive Microsoft games, are on PC now as well.
Well, the reason I say that is that it's like it's not a company which owns PC. It's not like Sony is the PlayStation, Microsoft is the Xbox, Nintendo is the Switch. There is no parent of the PC, so independent means that everybody can sort of club together and have one big convention.
Well, let's put it this way, right? A couple of games that Sega had showcasing at E3 that I just want to pick out very quickly before we end this, right? Shining Resonance Refrain, which is part of the Shining series, which is a phenomenally popular JRPG series, and if they actually get this out, it'll be the first time I've seen the Shining game for a long, long time, right? Then there's Total War Three Kingdoms. You know, the romance of the Three Kingdoms. They're doing Total War the Three Kingdoms, which is, you know, for RTS gamers and people who, you know, like the romance of the Three Kingdoms, which are a lot of people, that's a massive title. The other one I wanted to mention was Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Yeah.
They chose Tales of Vesperia over Valkyria Chronicles 4.
Well, it's probably all calculated as a marketing exercise.
Yeah. Anyway. So, E3, not the best.
Lots of things, but yeah.
Not the worst ad, though. I've seen worse, yes.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that one. But, you know, given the money that they're pouring with these days, if you're going to give us a show, actually give us a show, you know.
You know, do the Peggle 2 reaction again. Yay! Peggle 2. But anyway, I think that's round about the end of the show now.
Yeah, that is. So, let us know what you thought of this year's E3, which games you're looking forward to in the comments below. Until the next time, I've been Rob.
Now I've been Andy.
I've also been Rob.
We'll see you all later.